Okay, we're good. This is Mike Howell from Appalachian State University, and I'm with Betsy Willis. I'm interviewing her on April the 14th, 2010. So, Betsy, would you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about who you are, and if you're not from North Carolina, how you came to be here or how you came to be in this area, and we'll just sort of go from there.
Okay. My name is Betsy, and I've lived in the Boone area for about 20 years. I was born in Virginia, raised in Alabama, so I've got this bastard accent. Married a Virginian, so I lived in, and I've lived in Florida. Anyway, I moved here 20 years ago when I had a breakup in a relationship that was just devastating. And I went to a clinical social worker who said, Betsy, you need nurturing. And nothing will nurture you more better than your grandchildren. And they happen to live in Boone. So I moved up here and rented a place for a year to see if I could make the change. And then I built me a log cabin out in Zionville. And I loved living out there, but it was 20 minutes from Boone, and I wasn't getting any younger. I'm almost 83. And my daughter had this little apartment that I have to live in it 100%. I mean, it was a hard move, but I love being in town and being able to just run to the grocery store and back in 5 minutes rather than 40 minutes from where I used to live. So I've had an experience of the rural part of Watauga County as well as the city, using the term loosely. And I find it's a place that's, I was raised in a university town, so I, you know, there's something about a small university town that is so accepting and so, I want to say, democratic. That really appeals to me. And I have lived in Fayetteville, North Carolina, and it is one closed community, overshadowed by the army and the rigidness of that kind of place. What else do you want to know?
Well, you know, I think one thing I'd like to know is why did you decide to participate in this?
Well, as I wrote you, everybody likes to talk about themselves.
Okay.
So, being gay was, you know, Mike, when I was a little girl, I remember liking to put on my brother's pants. And I did it in secret. So somehow or another, even at the age of four, I knew that that was not the right thing to do. But then I read a totally heterosexual life because, I mean, you had sissies, but, you know, it just was not accepted. I mean, it just wasn't even talked about.
What did sissy mean when you were growing
sissy
up?
Sissy meant a boy who liked to do things girls did.
Okay.
And usually they were smart. They would be called a nerd now, right? Mm-hmm. But, and we had I was raised during World War II, so we didn't have cars because gas was rationed and tires were rationed, and So we sort of ran in a cryod. And within our cryod, there were two boys I would consider sissy. But we loved them just like we did the others, you know. When I went off to college, I came to college in Virginia. And one of them, of all places, went to the Virginia Military Institute.
Hmm.
And so we got together a lot on weekends. And he married and has had children and all. So, I mean, I have no idea that he's even bisexual. But hmm. And the other one I can think of the same way. But anyway, I think the first time I really was attracted to another woman was I was about 15 or 16 years old at camp, and I was real good horseback rider, and the head of the riding program took a real interest in me and gave me extra attention and all. And I just thought she hung the moon. I really did. And she, and after camp was over, we went riding together. She set up a program that included others too, that gave us special attention in certain kinds of riding and that kind of thing, and different type horses.
Uh-huh.
And anyway, I just thought she was hung the moon, and when I think about it, Mike, you know, I loved my husband and all, but it was different. It was a different attraction. And I graduated from college, got married. I was married for 34 years. And
what year did you get married?
48.
Okay.
And I certainly was interested in various women who became just very close friends during my marriage and all. And but then my husband, I look back on it now and I know he was depressed. He ended up killing himself. So I was senior warden of one of the Episcopal churches in my town, and we got a young woman priest as a curate, and as soon as she arrived, the rector of the church went on his vacation and said, "Betsy, get us settled in," and all this. Well, it was just, here was Charles suffering from depression, but I mean, he was not present. And here was this young woman who represented the mystery of my faith, I guess you. Anyway, it was a deep, deep connection. And it was really risky. Here she was just being ordained as a priest in the Episcopal Church. And anyway, I remember asking her, "What do you expect from me?" And she said, "Betsy, all I want from you is that you're beside me every night and every morning." And I thought, God, that's asking too much of me. I can't do that. But I did. And Charles moved out, and she got a call to a church in Fayetteville. So we moved down to Fayetteville together. in her church was, I would call it a fringe church. It had army, it had civilians, it had gay people, it had very rigorously straight retired army, but it was perfect for accepting both of us. And I was there with about 10 years, and you know, mental health just played a big part in my separations, because she just changed after about 10 years. I still look back on it, though, as certainly the first 8 were just, I'd never been that happy. And she, I don't know, she gave me something that I really needed and it's helped support me as a single person. When I moved up here, Mike, I had never lived by myself. I moved from my mother's home to my husband's home to Lucy's home. Mm-hmm. And when I went to the grocery store, I didn't even know what to buy, because I didn't know what I liked. So I was just sort of a lost soul. Mm-hmm. But anyway, and then I connected with a group of women here who were starting a spiritual sort of program, and some of them were gay, some of them weren't. Mm-hmm. But that we all had sort of the same hunger for somebody knowing who we were. And so we developed a program from that, which we offer to women, gay and straight, and it's been going on for about 10 years.
Wow.
So, but it's been my lifeline since I've been up here, so. And I won't kill it to go on.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Well, if you don't mind, can I ask you, from that time when you were married, so you had the attraction to the horse back riding instructor, and then you met your partner that you went to Fayetteville with.
Yeah.
So was there a point in that time where you realized something about your own sexuality, or was that just the catalyst when she came to town, or?
I had real close friends that I knew I liked better than others, but it wasn't any, I just wouldn't go there, don't think.
Okay.
And I think it was when Charles sort of left the relationship in his depression, was when I grabbed on to Lucy.
Mm-hmm. And you had children by then?
I have one daughter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did she go with you to Fayetteville?
No, she was already married by
then.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I was, 54 or something like that.
Was that a surprise for her? Or your family or friends?
You know, I don't know, because it wasn't a surprise. It was a surprise to Mary, my daughter, because Charles, I said I was going to tell her about it, and Charles said, oh, don't, please don't. So I didn't, and she was with him one day and said, I'm furious with Mother because she didn't tell me about it, herself and Lucy. And he said, oh, that's my fault. Somehow or another, it was almost like I cut off all my friends because I would have phone calls from people who were out of town that knew I was separating from Charles, and they would leave messages that say, "Are you crazy? What are you doing?" And so I just shirked away from what I found out is that, you know, I left them, they never left me. Because all of those old relationships have been renewed, and
wow.
So, and I've talked to most of them very openly about how things were and all. So that's been nice. But it was like my own shame or something. As long as I kept all my past out of it, then I wouldn't be so conscious of my own shame, something like that. And I probably wouldn't have ever left Lucy, except, first of all, the clinical social worker also, Lucy was going to her too, and she said, "Betsy, Lucy has some serious issues. I think you ought to look at y'all's relationship." That was when it was beginning to sever anyway. And I don't know where I'm going with this. Lucy was 19 years younger than I. But there's almost like, to me, Mike, that the spiritual sexual component is close. I mean, I don't know. It's one of those mysteries that I just recognize as a mystery. But to me, her being a priest, I think, played a role in the attraction. And and I haven't had that. I mean, it was like people talk about the love of my life and all. And I think that period when we were so together was so satisfying that I haven't been attracted to anybody since. And we're still in communication. We're good friends. She's in bad physical shape down in Alabama. And I talked to her last night.
Wow.
So we're still connected, sort of.
So that relationship ended, and you came to Boone.
Right.
And stayed here. I guess, what have you found different about being here than being in Fayetteville? What is life like for you as a person who identifies as you do? Lesbian? Do you identify as lesbian? Or
I don't broadcast it or anything, but I mean, I haven't hidden it.
Okay.
I mean, I talk openly about Lucy and...
Uh-huh.
I mean, it just, it sounded like if I had a false tooth, I wouldn't go around, you know, or something. It just doesn't seem important, you know.
Okay. So it's just a characteristic, but it's not for you.
Right.
So like a primary characteristic.
Right.
Okay. So is that sort of the way you interact with the world here and the same when you were in Fayetteville? That it's just
yeah,
sort of
yeah,
second
yeah.
Okay.
Right. It's like, but what's happened here is me being a single person. I mean, I realize now that I gave, that being a partner of Charles and Lucy, both, were crutches for me. And so I think that was what was so fearful about being on my own, was I wasn't enough of a person to exist without that crutch. And I found out that's not true. And I'm of a generation where all nice, quote unquote, young ladies married, got married, had children, and lived happily ever after. So, and most of my friends got married before I did. So, it was the way to go. And I wonder to this day, my mother was such a Southern lady. I wonder to this day, if she'd been alive, would I have been able to make the cut?
So she'd already passed?
Yeah, yeah. Because it was such a huge no-no. That's it.
So, what's your connection to the community here? Do you feel connected to the local LGBT community at all?
Not particularly.
Okay.
No,
mm-hmm.
I have many gay friends, but they are just, but they are not connected either to the. I went to the. I had a young friend from Fayetteville who's gay. Come up one weekend years ago, and we went to the, I think, MCC church. But I wasn't particularly drawn. St. Luke's is such a great community for me, and it's, you know, a real mixture of street people, university professors, you name it. You know, it's a real hodgepodge. And
So the
MCC church was the way, only way I knew of that community. And the women I met there, or guys, that's been years ago, though. I didn't feel particularly drawn to them, and and this Numina community that I was in just answered all my needs for friends and all.
So you have other gay friends here in this area. And it sounds like you're saying that you all sort of, this is an aspect of your personality or your person, but it's not maybe a key element like it is for some people. Okay. So would you say that was what drew you together, or was it just it happened to be part of it, but other things connected you?
I think it was other things. Through the community of St. Luke's, the priest at that time offered several weekend kind of courses. And I met this woman at one of them who was a spiritual director. And I felt like that was what I needed. And so I spoke to her about that, and she said, "Betsy, I'm getting together a group. Would you like to be a part of that?" And it was a wonderful group. of mixed women, and it wasn't a therapy group, but it was an in-depth sharing group. Mm-hmm. And that just grew and grew, and I'm still in it. And it just seemed like it became easier for me to socialize in these group settings. Mm-hmm. And now I'm in too many of them.
It sounds like you have a very strong need for significant sort of intimate relationships with women.
Right.
But not necessarily on a romantic or sexual
right.
relationship kind of dimension. It's just that connection to other women.
And something else that might play into that is my father was a tobacco buyer, and so he was from Virginia, my mother was from Alabama. But anyway, during the growing season for tobacco, he didn't have any work to do. So we would always go to Alabama mm-hmm. to visit my grandparents. And while we were down there, the year I was 6 years old, he was invited to go on a fishing trip with some local men, and he drowned.
Oh, no.
So at age 6, I lost my father. And mother never dated, and he became just this saint, you know. And as I look back on it now, that must have put a hell of a burden on Charles Willis, that the husband was supposed to be the great saint. But anyway, so pleasing my mother was real important to me. In fact, I remember Charles saying, "You and your brother and sister seem to think a hell of a lot about what your mother thinks about you." And he said, "I could care less what my mother thinks about me." And he was right. So, I mean, the feminine influence there was powerful.
Well, you mentioned a minute ago that you weren't sure that you could have left your marriage if your mother
right.
had been alive.
My mother loved Charles.
Okay.
She did.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So, you're thinking she never had an inkling, or do you think she would have responded negatively to that change in your life?
I think she would have, yeah. But I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's sort of like, I'm not going to go there. And yet, I've entertained at times the thought that Mother would have liked Lucy as she was when I first met her. So, who knows?
Well, what is life like here for you?
It's very easy. These 20 years have gotten me to recognize that I'm a worthwhile being, and that what I do and say matters, and that putting myself first is not something that's a no-no. That I can't give to others if I'm not fairly balanced myself. So these years here have been a real sort of grounding for me in myself. And It's great. I mean, having my daughter next door, I see her every day, and we've probably got the best relationship we've ever had.
Is that right?
Yeah. So that's nice. And pretty soon after I moved into the apartment a couple of years ago, I had a heart attack, which just reinforced that my moving into town was the right thing to do.
Yeah. So, and the grandkids are around?
Well, one of them's about to get married, and the other one, we hope she does. Yes, one just finished at UNC Asheville, and he's working in near Newport News.
Mm-hmm. So. Wow. And so, what do you think they think about the time you were with Lucy, or, you know, how do they sort of think of you as their grandmother?
Well, the other grandparents, I would say, are fairly eccentric, traditional.
Uh-huh.
In fact, the last time I went in Peter's room, he had a picture of them that sort of looked like that Gothic thing of the farm.
Oh, right. Uh-huh.
And then he had a picture of me in clown makeup. So so I think they see me as an eccentric.
Hmm. But not really a piece of your life they've expressed a whole lot of interest in?
I think Mary said that Clara asked her at some point, was when I was living with Lucy, were we connected in any way? And I don't know what she answered, but they never asked me. But I would tell them if they asked me. So... But there's something in that time with Lucy that just, I mean, I've journaled on it for pages and pages and pages. I've kept all her letters. You know, it's almost like that's when I really grew into a part of myself that hadn't been alive before then or something. But it's very meaningful to me. And she's just not the same person she was then. I mean, I have no attraction to her whatsoever. And she's in such bad health that...
But it was a very powerful experience.
Absolutely.
Living through it.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And once I moved away from Alexandria and we lived in the same house together in Fayetteville, it was like I left all that guilt behind.
Mm-hmm.
And the church just accepted us, and I mean, fortunately, if we'd been any later doing it, she probably would have gotten kicked out of the church. But we happened to do it at a time when it was safe and into a... Anyway, and she was so capable at what she did, so good at it, that all her superiors really counted on her. So she quickly made herself... secure.
Excuse me. Sure.